You're listening to Donuts and Top Cow.
Two great tastes that taste better together.
Thanks for listening. Happy holidays. This is episode 39 of Donuts and Top Cow. My name is John Grigas.
And mine is Joshua Crawley.
And we are recording live. Well, we're alive anyway.
We are live.
From the Westfield Comics location on Willie Street.
But not the band live.
On the Near East Side in Madison, Wisconsin. There is also a second location of Westfield Comics located on the west side off of Mineral Point Road.
West side.
And if you want to do business with Westfield, it might do you right. You can find them at www.westfieldcomics.com. Set up an account, look around. And even if you don't buy anything, check out the blogs that they post and the content. There's usually some pretty interesting articles, some good interviews. And I know my man Josh here also posts something to the Westfield blog on a regular basis.
Yeah, mine's not as exciting. I mostly dig through previews each month. And by dig through, I mean gloss over it. Not horribly well, but sometimes I just can't babble enough about the stuff I want people to take a look at. But Bob Greenberger, Casey Carlson, Bo Smith, they'll have stuff up like once every week or two. It's some good stuff in there.
Definitely some good stuff in there. So check that out.
Those donuts smell awesome.
I know. I just opened up the donuts. We have apple cider cake donuts today. With a little cinnamon sugar on the outside, and I opened up the case just getting ready to record, and the whole room smells like apple cider now.
Oh, this is awesome. And I noticed I'm in weird voice mode today, and I totally haven't had any amp, no coffee, no sleep deprivation. Well, not really, so.
Well, yeah.
Watch out.
2 out of 3 ain't bad. So, yeah, good donuts. We got these from the bakery at the Cops Grocery Store, which there are several in Madison, Wisconsin. There are also several Cops around the state of Wisconsin. They're with the Roundies chain. And their bakery does a pretty decent job. So these are pretty good. I also have some other donut news for Madison. And if you live in Madison, this is interesting for you. I was driving down Gammon Road the other day, and I noticed the Associated Bank, which has been closed for about 1.5 to 2 years in front of the Woodman's, has a big sign in front of it that says, "Coming soon, Dunkin' Donuts."
Sweet.
Logo and everything, so you know it's coming. So looking forward to that. I always like them because they advertise 52 varieties, so I can get a different kind every week and not duplicate it. So.
Wow.
Pretty good.
That is awesome news.
Yeah. And we got a couple other little teasers, and we're going to talk about Witchblade 150 today, but before that, we'll go through a little bit more news. One of the news is that we are getting ready for the year 2012. It's coming. It's around the corner as we record right now. We have about a week and a half, a little more than that to go. And we have a new spinoff show that we want to announce of Donuts and Top Cow.
Have we decided what the name is yet?
Yes, you have decided what the
name
is.
Oh, I did? I didn't know that we set on anything in specific. So it's, yeah, I don't remember what we settled on. What did we settle on?
Wasn't it After Dark?
Yeah, but there has to be something before the After Dark. Otherwise, it just seems like we're completely ripping off the, Beverly Hills 90210 Peach Pit After Dark thing.
Aren't we ripping that off?
Well, yeah, but.
So it's more like, it's Top Cow After Dark.
Okay, Top Cow After, I wasn't sure if it was Donuts After Dark.
Actually, what I think maybe a good name would be Top Cow Media After Dark, since it's going to be media focused and not on the comics as much. No?
It doesn't roll quite as well as Top Cow After Dark.
Let's go Top Cow After Dark, keep our options open.
All right.
So we'll Google that, make sure that nobody's taken that one, and then we're going to put that out there. But Top Cow After Dark is going to be a different kind of show, and we're going to start off by watching and doing commentary track of the Witchblade anime episodes.
Oh, yeah.
And hope that you can join us and along watching, and we'll throw some comments in there. We'll be interested in yours, of course. And there'll be some opportunity for anybody who happens to be local in Madison to join us once in a while.
Get some fun Clone Blade action.
We'll probably switch up the donuts for something fermented on the After Dark edition.
That seems only appropriate. Still, you know, grain-based, but, yeah. And it's not going to be rated quite the same, because, let's be honest, sometimes I just really want to swear.
Well, the show is not going to be an all-ages show. It's not, that doesn't mean it's going to be fully blue, but we'll be as all-ages as your typical Top Cow book is, so we'll match what the Top Cow rating is.
Yeah, which I noticed actually going through some stuff today.
Which is, well, T+. We'll be T+.
T+ for, well, that's 150 is T+, but I noticed earlier, I believe, on Comixology, I've started using it just so I can familiarize myself with it for professional reasons. But I believe Witchblade 80 was rated 12 and up.
Oh, interesting.
So, I mean, well, I had a parent in here shopping the other day, and language might have come up, and they're like, it's nothing they don't say anyways.
Yeah, that's for sure. No, you're 12-year-old. I have one at home, and
We were talking about 8-year-olds, but South Park isn't as far from the truth as people would like to think.
Yeah, that's true. I also have an 8-year-old, and if you have an 8-year-old that also lives with a 12-year-old, then she's heard it all because of the 12-year-old. So we're talking Witchblade 150, and we are, I was thinking about saying, well, we'll spoil some of this. There's not really a lot to spoil in this issue, because I think Top Cow spoiled it all themselves.
Well, there's only so much you can do, but, yeah. I would say it's not so much, especially in the case of this story and what's been going on and what you kind of do to have to promote some of this, you know, newer stuff. This issue isn't quite so much about the destination as it's about the journey.
Yeah, I think that's well put. And going into it, if you've seen solicitations and you know about where Sarah's going with Witchblade 151, this is the last issue of the Ron Mars run, 71 issues of the Witchblade flagship title. And also, Stjepan Sejic is also moving off the title as Ron leaves, and a new team coming in, headed up by Tim Seeley, is coming in. And that's all been announced, and it's also been announced that she's got a change of venue and a change of job status. So the spoiler in this is that we're going to talk about Sarah moving away from her position on the New York City Police Force. And it's kind of one of those, she's been pursued, she's been investigated, there's pressure on her to either resign or quit. And I guess the one thing that we'll say is that one of those two happens at the end of the book, and you can probably predict which happens, but it doesn't change the result. So.
And really, if you open the front cover, you know what it is right away.
Oh, because the name of the story is Resign?
Yes.
So that's good.
Spoiler alert, the title of the story is Resigned.
And plays on multiple meanings, of course, but it does pay homage to a lot, Witchblade created by Mark Silvestri, David Wohl, Brian Haverland, and Michael Turner. And we see that right off the bat on the cover. I've got the A cover, which is a painting of Stjepan Sejic, and he shows Sarah with the Witchblade slicing through, basically it looks like a painted Michael Turner cover. And it has the Michael Turner signature in the lower left.
Yeah, I
side.
Think that's the cover to number one.
Yeah, I wondered. I wondered if it was, and we'll get to that the other way. I couldn't be sure, and I'll talk about that as we get through the book. But the story basically still comes back to Sarah, and she is out in a park, and she's talking with the investigator, Phipps, who has been putting the pressure on her. If you've read Witchblade up till now, it all came to a head in 149, where an extreme magical creature out on the seaside was coming in and engaged in a fight with Sarah, and Phipps was following and tailing her, and Gleason was there as well. So he basically got the whole story in one big battle. And now it opens up where Sarah and Phipps are discussing the terms of her departure. whether she's going to jump off herself or whether she's going to get pushed. And in one way, he gives her a choice.
Yeah. He says this under the guise of, it's my job. Whatever. Dude's a tool.
He's a total tool. But he gives her the, he basically says, listen, it's, you know, it's the Witchblade or your job. You can't keep both. So, which is kind of interesting to think
about. It's that thing that saved my life or your job.
And, I mean, let's be serious. This guy is such a tool that, yeah, right, okay. I'll give up the Witchblade, keep going, and you're just going to keep looking for something else.
I think, well, I don't know. I'd like to think I speak for pretty much everyone when I say we all really, really hoped but knew it wasn't going to happen that he was going to get eaten by the giant monster last issue.
I'm still holding out hope. Later is fine if they can just deal with him in a fierce way. That's okay. So Sarah has to think about it. She goes to the scene that was prominent in the first Witchblade arc. And that is where she goes to the Rialto Theater, which is where Kenneth Irons was testing people out to see who could wield the Witchblade as she was coming down and investigating and cracking down on him. She didn't wear the red outfit in this issue, but she did go to the now abandoned Rialto. And
but she's got a red shirt on.
That's true. That's a good point. I guess I didn't know that because I'm colorblind. So
she's
just much subdued. And on her way in, she's confronted by somebody who, I guess it comes out that it's a homeless person. Although until they started talking to him as if he was a homeless person, I didn't really make that connection. But I'm just wondering if that's because there's just a warning that homeless person says, you don't want to go in there. It's a bad place. So I didn't know if that might be an Easter egg or is that anybody that looks familiar to you at all?
No. Not at all.
So he warns Sarah not to go in, and she dismisses him and goes in and is confronted by the Witchblade itself in corporeal form, which we first saw in that form in Witchblade 93, which is also the story that heads off the first trade of Witchblade, or not the third trade of the Witchblade, Volume 3, where she's swimming in the pool and confronts her. Basically the essence of the Witchblade as a separate being. So that was kind of a cool connection back to some of the early Ron Marz work.
And it's a little interesting since I just saw you flipping through the personification of the Witchblade looks much more like the dark half of the Witchblade when Sage is illustrating it.
Yeah.
Whereas when Mike Choi was doing it, it was just kind of...
It was almost like the armor.
Yeah.
An armor without a body, but yet, you know, could move and communicate. So it was really looking for Sarah to accept it and... You know, make it a part of her.
Oh. I don't really have preferences. Thought it was interesting.
It was. So they match up again and again, just as in the Witchblade 93, the Witchblade itself basically urges her to stay connected, reconnect, with the words, all that has come to pass, because you were chosen, none of it happens without you. And asks if she understands, and it's followed in the middle of this conversation or in the middle of this exchange with the Witchblade. There's basically a 4-page long spread. They have to do it 2 pages at a time, but it's really clear that this is going to be a pretty killer poster when it comes out.
Oh, I hope so.
And it really takes you through the lineage of major characters in the Witchblade, starting with Witchblade 1. And Ian Nottingham all the way on to, is that Aphrodite 9 at the end of that, or is that?
Nope, that's 4.
Okay.
No, because 9 pretty much hasn't shown up at all yet.
That's what I was thinking, so that's why I was curious. So it's Aphrodite 4 at the end, but it really runs through. Sarah shows up twice, once as the Witchblade wielder in the classic Michael Turner way, and again as Sarah Pazzini with the Witchblade on her arm in more of an investigative detective type garb. But pretty much everybody shows up on this 2-page spread, Josh.
Yeah, I can't list all the old people, but we have Michael Yee, her old boss, Jake, Irons, Nottingham, Tora Noshii, the lady from, I think, the Evolution crossover, whose name I don't know. Some people in shadows up on the roof up there.
Yeah, those are interesting.
Hmm. Yeah, then the second spread is all the more recent stuff.
Yeah, all the way through Artifacts.
Yeah. Curator, Gleason. Everyone whose name's just I'm totally blanking on right now.
And then
now
there's
for no
the curator's
reason.
Brother is right next to the curator, who's the one who I'm saying is the survivor, if you listen to our last episode. And then basically Sarah makes her decision very much like she made her decision in Witchblade 93, where she wields the Witchblade. It is part of her, and she is part of it. And we run through. And then we have our tearful goodbye scene as she moves through the precinct for the last time. Somebody waiting for her there is her partner, Patrick Gleason. And it's made pretty clear that the New York City police force isn't the only thing that she's leaving behind in New York.
Poor Gleason.
But at least they're not killing him.
True.
So, here's hoping that we'll see him pop up again. I think he could support a series. We'll see him again in this universe, I think.
Especially if he had an artifact.
Yeah, good point. We'll have to just see what Ron might have in mind. So that's the story. It's a simple story. It's a fun story with a little bit of history in it. It's not one that's going to, you know, shake in your boots or anything like that. No great revelations come out, but it is a really nice cap off to the Ron Mars run. If they end up doing the Ron Mars omnibus oversized collection, it'll end up pretty nicely with this 150 story.
Yeah, I could definitely use some Witchblade Ultimate collections to go along with, like, the Invincible Ultimate collections.
I think those would...
Starting with the Ron Mars material.
I think that would do really well. So then looking at some of the promotion, we'll talk about the rest of the book because there's some other cool stuff in there. But Ron and the Top Cow team have really been hitting the circuit on the media promoting this. One of the things from the Top Cow press release that he says is it's leaving the Witchblade is bittersweet. And he says, and this is a direct quote, "Sarah's been an almost daily presence in my life for more than 7 years, so it feels a little weird to be going our separate ways, at least in terms of the Witchblade Monthly. But even if this seems like Stefan and I are breaking up with Sarah, I know we'll see her again in Artifacts. Sarah will definitely be a presence in that book going forward, so we'll be reunited, and it feels so good." So, get you a little soul music reference there. They've been on Newsrama, they've been interviewed on Comic Book Resources. I know if you follow Ron Mars, he's tweeted out that he's spoken to several podcasts. It's on our wish list someday to see Ron in person someday and have him on our show so we can ask him some things. But he's been making the circuit, definitely doing some Artifacts promotion, and it's kind of interesting as he talks about the Artifacts 14 moving on. He basically describes it kind of like you did, where it's a non-team book. You know, it's not a team book, but it kind of teams up some things. So it's kind of a lot of fun things to look for the future. Speaking of the future, then, in the issue, we have a preview of Witchblade 151 with Tim Seeley. And really, right off the bat, Tim and the creative team, Diego Bernard, on the pencils, definitely ushers in a new era of the Witchblade. It may have the same characters and some of the same attitudes of the Sarah Bazzini we've known, but he's definitely making it his own, as we see Sarah pretty much in a streetwalker outfit sitting locked up in a prison somewhere, and a little retrospect of how she ended up there as, you know, investigating something supernatural as a private detective.
Yeah, I don't want to get too much into the meat and bones of this story, though it is nice that it's a nice six-page preview. One of the first things I noticed, though, was the change in lettering style.
Oh, yeah.
Got some new fonts going. It's, I guess it's new fonts. It's not like it, some people probably wouldn't notice at all, but, because it's not like all of a sudden balloons are three times the size they were with fonts twice the size they were, but,
No, it's not credited, but I'm sure that it's, Troy Petrie who's doing
it. Oh, that. Yeah. It's gotta be Troy.
And I think that, well, we've talked to him about it before. Yeah. He's seen the scripts and things, so I know that he's working on it, so.
I'm trying to remember how I was going to segue into this from what you had said, but with a lot of the especially even more recent press that's been going around, not just about this book for, say, the past month, but in the past week, we've heard all about the End of the World tour that is happening.
Oh, yeah.
On January 4th, where lots of the Top Cow guys, past and future, will be at different stores across the U.S. But then there's also talk of the Rebirth, because we're going to be getting that End of Artifacts. So sounds like things are getting pretty interesting.
Now, that's happening pretty early in January.
Yes.
And I've been interested in, you know, the whole event really centers around a lot of things being released. You got the Witchblade 151. You've got the Darkness 101. You've got Artifacts 14, or, I'm getting ahead of myself, Artifacts 13. So when is 12 going to be in my hands?
12 is the week before 13.
So it's going to go 2 weeks in a row, 12 yes. and 13. Well, that's going to be pretty satisfying.
And one of the interviews I read this morning with Tim, Tim mentioned he's been working on Witchblade for about a year now.
Wow.
And in a retailer email I got from Top Cow, they mentioned a number of things, some of it being some of this End of the World, Rebirth type stuff, some stuff that I don't know that I should share, so I won't be sharing it. Not that I think it's major. It's not like there's some great revelation in there.
But it'll be in due time.
Yeah. Or it might just be one of those things where they clued us in maybe a few hours before everyone else, and it's just, or stuff that's, you know, it's not important for people to think that I have this great, massive revelation on hand that I'm just not sharing. It's just, you know, little stuff, and I don't want to throw anything out there. But there was something in there. Oh. So in that email, one of the things they mentioned is dedication to putting books out monthly again. So I don't know how many, I mean, Tim's obviously been working on this for quite some time, but I don't know how long maybe they have been building some of this up.
Yeah.
But,
well, that's good to hear.
Yeah. And speaking of more Artifacts-related-y stuff, before we get back into this Witchblade 150, Magdalena 10 came out this last Wednesday.
Right.
And Sarah shows up with the Witchblade. And there's been all of this talk of end of the world, rebirth, and a lot of focus on Witchblade, Darkness, and Artifacts. Not really any focus on Magdalena. And, you know, there's been a lot of allusions, I think, to from people about how this is kind of a Crisis on Infinite Earths, whatever kind of New 52 style reboot, World Storm, for those of you that actually might have read that. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking it's possible Magdalena might be a post-Artifacts 13 kind of title, the way Mark Waid's Legion of Superheroes was post-Infinite Crisis.
I'm now thinking back to the Magdalena Volume 1 trade that would fit.
Just because, you know, I mean, here, nothing here disputes it, and it's nothing that's been, obviously it's only 10 issues in, so it's, you're not going to be like, oh, hey, look, we're relaunching Magdalena with a new team with issue 11.
And it seems like Patience will be the Magdalena for a while.
Yeah. She better be.
comics, you never know.
Yeah. Well, it's Top Cow Comics, you never know. If it was Marvel or DC, I'm guessing, even if she wasn't the Witchblade for a while, or the Witchblade for a while.
If it was DC, it'd be somebody else, but then...
Because actually, Solicits have said she's getting the Witchblade at some point in this story, I guess.
Really? Huh.
Yeah. Or is it that... Maybe it's that Sarah uses the Spear of Destiny. Maybe part of me just wishes.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there's goofy artifact swapping going on in this story, but... Totally not, obviously, too much related to Witchblade at all. Except for that I did kind of want to point out how with all of this talk, there's been little talk about Magdalena. So she's kind of like a redheaded stepchild.
Yeah.
But
about to really, I think, come more into focus, especially since that's the other title that Ron will be writing ongoing. Yeah. And he's been pretty candid about how she's really his, you know, that's like his favorite title right now. And that's where he's putting a lot of interest in. And
I just want to get that theory of mine out there, though.
That's good.
End of the World Rebirth title is the title that's been coming out for about a year now.
You heard it here first from Josh.
Booyah.
Booyah.
All right, back to Witchblade 150.
Another reason to buy the Witchblade 150. And I just am a guy who enjoys special features. So you get trade paperback level special features in this floppy issue. There are a couple pages that pay tribute to Ron Marz and the job that he did. A lot of creators, a lot of coworkers, people who have worked with him before.
I get a little teary-eyed reading some of those.
Yeah, you can tell this writer is very admired and well-liked, and it's pretty clear that he maintains the respect of a lot of people. Matt Hawkins has really a one-line tribute that says Ron Marz gave Sarah Pizzini a soul, and if you've read his run since issue 80, you'll agree with that statement, I think. But a lot of his collaborators, Troy Petrie writes something, Adriana Milo comes in, Mike Choi comes in, and Phil Hester writes something, and Phil Smith, former editor on The Witchblade, comes in, really pays nice tribute to Ron, and then Philip has a page-long tribute that really talks about the impact that both Ron and Stefan have brought to the book and shares some interesting statistics and numbers. That's followed by four pages of what looks like all 150 covers to The Witchblade, kind of in varying sizes. And really fascinating to go through. And that's what made me wonder about the cover of 150, where you have Sarah ripping through a Michael Turner art of the Witchblade, is that I don't see that pop out at me. Is it like the very first one and I'm missing it?
Yes.
Okay, so it's the very first one and I'm missing it.
Because the one that they show is a wraparound, okay. And it didn't wrap around on this cover. That is something I am going to say that was actually in that retailer email. Apparently, starting with the new year, as long as books shipping on their monthly schedules, everything's going to have cardstock covers.
Whoa.
It said wraparound cardstock, but I can't imagine every single... I mean, it's possible every single one will be a wraparound, but...
And they'll be at a $3.99 price point, or...?
I don't think that was mentioned at all. But I suppose it wouldn't surprise me because Magdalena's $3.99. I think Artifacts are $3.99. Witchblade's $2.99.
They've been $2.99.
Yeah.
So that'll probably.
Though all these covers, it is not all of the covers. It's just a cover each from 150. Yeah.
Okay.
Because there were some of these that had.
Well, you got a lot of variants. Covers. And you have, variants from Comic Cons and.
Yeah.
Retailer incentive variants, but it's fun. It's fun to look through and see and remember if you remember buying it. Oh, I bought that 7 years ago. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
So that's been kind of fun. That is followed by a two-page spread of a Witchblade timeline, which starts with the first appearance of Witchblade in the She Psyblade number one, and then comes up to 150 where Sarah leaves the NYPD And really, the only thing on the timeline from Artifacts is Artifacts number one, the death of Julie, and Hope is abducted by Aphrodite 4, and then it really doesn't reference anything else with Artifacts towards the end.
Well, you notice with the design of the thing, there's kind of, like, each number of dots kind of corresponds to an issue number, sort of.
Yeah.
So, like, Broken Trinity, there's three red dots that kind of line up between 119, 120, and 121 of the regular series. Same with Firstborn. Interesting thing with Artifacts is it kind of overlaps 150. I'm guessing that these aren't meant to be taken. This is the single solid order these books happen in. It's just the general time frames.
Yeah. But. Well, and you get to something that, you know, not just us, but really the whole community of Top Cow readers have been scratching their head about is the lack of any comment about Hope, the lack of appearance of certain people, and you know, it'll all seem clear. You know, this time next year, it'll all be really clear to us. So,
oh yeah,
that's worth hanging around for. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, even this time next year, I would guess within 3 months we'll probably have a much better idea.
Looking forward to that. Following that is a Witchblade Creator Hall of Fame, started by the four co-creators: Mark Silvestri, Michael Turner, Brian Haberlin, and David Wall. And also it references the issues that they had for their run. And the Creator Hall of Fame is just a nice little paragraph, fills in pretty much their role. Going through, they pay homage to Christina Z, Randy Green, Ku Cha, Paul Jenkins, Brian Ching, Francis Manipole, Ron Mars, Mike Choi, Adriana Milo, and Stefan Sejic. And
I didn't realize David Wolt written so many issues. It's like 55 plus.
Yeah, that surprised me too. You know, he was,
though some of them were co-writers, because I mean, him and Christina Z did a whole bunch together.
And then he took a break from between issue 31 and 53, and came back a little bit. So he kind of came and went a couple times. So. But worthwhile. This is a fun book to have. It's a fun book to look through.
Well, there haven't been that many writers on Witchblade. Like, I guess I kind of realize that, but seeing them all here, I mean, you've got David Wall and Christina Z. Paul Jenkins. And Ron Mars. That's it.
Yeah.
Though I could have sworn there are a couple issues that aren't listed here.
Well, this is a Hall of Fame, so it might just be, you know, a few people with a story arc here or there or something. But
yeah, because I want to say, what, 76 through 80 was Ian Edgington? But yeah, there's a pretty good spread of, wow.
It's pretty cool. And I do like what they write about Stefan Sejic, is that how he can digitally paint a full comic for a monthly release, that's pretty remarkable. And he'll be continuing that style with Artifacts, isn't he?
If he doesn't get sick, he can do like two a month.
Yeah, pretty amazing.
Oh, and then there's that stuff. And oh, something you actually skipped over, but it is slightly more related to the preview, is
And that was by
a page interview, Tim Seeley balancing the blade. And then a page interview, Diego Bernard, chosen by the Blade. But
so a little insight into how long they've been working on it and what some of their early thoughts are. Nothing's going to give you, you know, just give you enough interest to pick up 151, but not give you any real clue as to how things are going to go. So I know we're excited, and if you're listening to this, you're in our club too. So
man, I really want to see Stefan do a recreation of the Witchblade number 7 cover. That is awesome. It was the cover that basically drew me to the series. It's her with the sheet draped all around, like the pedestal of this.
The lion statue.
Yeah. Which, where are those? Are those like outside of some library or something in New York City? Aren't they someplace really
Yeah, I think
noteworthy like that.
I don't know New York City. So
someone
well,
tell me, so I know.
And tell us by posting it on our Facebook page.
Yes.
We still have a contest. We're going to give something away that people want. And we're going to give it away as soon as we hit 50 Facebook likes. So we may not have as much as some other casts, but we really value the fact that you'll spend the time with us on our episodes. As we move towards the end of the year, we're going to have a special year-end wrap-up episode coming up in a week or so. And hope that you'll want to tune in again for that.
I almost forgot. This is actually going to be the first place this is going to be announced. I don't know if this will eventually get tied into the End of the World Tour or if it'll be its own little Rebirth micro tour. If you are in the Madison, Wisconsin area on January 7th, 2012, here at the East Side Westfield Comics, from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m., Mr. Timothy Seeley will be here.
That's going to be
signing books, all this stack of Witchblades, Witchblade 151, that is. I'll have some other Witchblades, too, probably. But
yep, some Witchblade, and there'll be some Hack Slash around, I'm
sure. Bring your Hack Slash books in, bring some old G.I. Joe comics in, bring in some Ant-Man and Wasp, or some Halloween, X-Men First Class, maybe New Exiles. I don't know. Tim's done a pile of stuff.
Love Bunny and Mr. Hell.
Love Bunny and Mr. Hell.
One of my favorites.
Yes.
So that'll be fun, and we're also going to get him on the show.
Colt Noble and the Megalords. Yeah.
So, yeah. So if there's anything you want to know about from Tim, post up a question, because we are going to have him on the show. He'll be one of our first January episodes for 2012. We'll talk comics. We'll talk Top Cow. We'll talk Tim Seeley. So until the next show, have a great week.
Good journey.